I would like to read several scriptures this morning. Some in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament. First of all, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Let me read a few verses. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We've already read that twice this morning. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Zechariah, the last book but one in the Old Testament, Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9. Greatly rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now let's turn to Matthew 21. I think the Lord is overruling today, because I had intended to read about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but I had intended to read from Matthew 21. And it's in John 12, it's in Mark 11, and it's in Luke 19, and Mr. Woodhouse has already read the one in Mark and the one in Luke, but I had in mind to read the one in Matthew, so we're getting the full orb story this morning of the, what we call the Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, that's what I read in Zechariah 9, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May God bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we bow before thee now to thank thee for this wonderful story which we've already read three times this morning. Three different viewpoints of the way thy beloved son entered his own city. He who was the king of Jerusalem came riding in lowly, sitting upon an ass in absolute humility. And crowds bowed before him and said, Hosanna, save now. But they did not know what he knew. They did not know that within a week they would nail him upon a cross and crucify him. And we thank thee that once more thou hast brought us round in this season of the year to the time when all the Western world will be thinking about Easter and the Easter week, the Passion Week as men call it. And we ask thee, Lord, that here in our meetings this week, the thing concerning the sufferings of thy Son might be brought before our vision. We cast us upon thee, and we ask, Lord, that in the meeting this morning thou wilt speak to some heart. Oh, we do not know one another. Man looketh upon the countenance, God looketh upon the heart. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God might take the word of God and apply it to the heart of everyone here this morning for thy glory. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's not a very easy task to bring a conference like this to an end. We have had a tremendous conference here this year, I think the best ever. The ministry has been superb. I think I have attended, well, I can't say all the meetings, but I was in Chicago during three of the meetings, but I had to go to Tampa on two occasions, but I suppose I missed five meetings from the whole period, and we've had a wonderful, wonderful time. And God has fitted the ministry together. And I would like, if possible, in this final week, to kind of pull it all together, if we can, and get some lessons out of the wonderful ministry we've heard this week. What could be more fitting? I've been thinking this over now for weeks. What could be more fitting this week than to think of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus? The cross of Christ, we sometimes think of the cross of Christ and talk about it as the center of two eternities, which look with rapt adoring eyes backward and on to thee. And surely the cross of Christ is the center of all God's plans. All eternity looked on, and all eternity will look back to this week we're thinking of. The religious world call it Passion Week. Well, that's a good name anyhow, the Lord's Passion. When I lived in Greece, I lived there 10 years, the evangelical churches there used to get together on this particular week of the year, and in one or other of the various churches, they had a service every week of this particular week, with a different speaker in each of the churches. And we used to go year after year, made a great impression upon me, and they took the incidents and the scenes leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And this is what I have in my mind as a kind of concluding week for our conference. Do you remember when Brother Mortlem was here? I think he was our third speaker. And unfortunately, I had to miss three of his messages because I had to go to Chicago to the Stewart Foundation board meeting. But I'll read you what he read, and he read it every day. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. The Lord hath sent me to Bethel, the house of God. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were there in Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. He said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. He said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Then you know the story, how Elisha took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters of the river Jordan, and they divided. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Brother George Morton, he gave us a picture I must say I've never seen before in all the years I've been reading the scripture. And it was 67 years ago last week the Lord saved me. And I've been reading the Bible since before that. But he gave us a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says to his disciples, The Lord has sent me to Bethel, to the house of God. And he told us how the Lord Jesus had a great desire to be in the house of God. Then he said, The Lord has sent me to Jericho, the city of a curse. And he told us how the Lord Jesus came into this cursed scene of sin and wickedness. And he said, The Lord sent me to Jordan, and Jordan means death. And he said to Elisha, Now you stay here. Elisha said, Oh no. If you go, I'm going. If you go to the house of God, I go with you. If you go to Jericho, I go with you. If you go to Jordan, I'm going with you. If you're going up to heaven, I can't go, but I'm going to watch you go up to heaven. That was the gist of his talk for a whole week. And it's been in my mind all through the conference meeting. And I feel perhaps we could bind this all together and make it part of our thinking this week. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. That's a city. And I've been thinking about Matthew's Gospel. And I would like to call our talk this week, if you like, The Road to the Cross. Via Dolorosa, if you like, the way of sorrow. Or the way of Calvary, whichever you like to choose. Perhaps we'll say The Road to the Cross. And let's try and spend a week, if we can, following in the steps of the Lord, footsteps of the Lord. And I would like it to be from Matthew's Gospel. Verse by verse, we'll go through. You cannot go verse by verse from chapter 21 right through to chapter 28. Couldn't do it in the time, but we pick up some verses as we go through. And there's an awful lot of argument in John's Gospel between the entry into Jerusalem and the crucifixion. There's an awful lot of arguing. Mark has it also, but John doesn't. John takes you up into the upper room and you hear the Lord speaking to his disciples. But in Matthew, all these Sadducees and scribes and Pharisees are bringing arguments to the Lord. But we'll probably have to skip through some of that and go into the last night and visit Gethsemane, visit the upper room. And we'll have to stand in Pilate's judgment hall. And we'd have to go to the gravesite and see where they buried the body of the Lord Jesus. And I think in this way we might bring to a fitting close
our wonderful, wonderful conference of 1979. The Lord tarry for another week.
I would like, as a title for today's talk, this title, which I took from Psalm 100, now you've never heard of this connection before, I don't think. I never have. It was 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord, I spent 3 hours tonight. I spent from 3 till 5 this morning in the middle of the night reading this. And it was about quarter past three this morning. The Lord gave me this as I've never seen it before. This is the day which the Lord has made. If you read Spurgeon, he'll say that's the Sabbath day. Or he meant the Lord's day, of course. And we all say, this is the day when we get up in the morning. This is another day the Lord has made. But I would like to emphasize this. This is the day which the Lord has made. Look at Luke 19 a minute, which our brother read just now. Luke 19 and verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day. In the original, the word thy is not there. If thou hadst known, even thou at least this day, if thou hadst known this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. And I would like this morning to take this particular day, the day when the Lord entered into Jerusalem, and apply these verses to it. This is the day the Lord has made, if thou hast known even this day. What day? A very important day in God's reckoning. God has a program. God has a calendar. I've spent most of my life as a production engineer. And Mr. John C. Funeral, bear me out in what I'm saying. When you are in a production world, you have to make a schedule. You have to make a plan. I like the way my late brother Tom used to put it. The three things he used to say are necessary in management. You've got to analyze. You've got to organize. And you've got to supervise. And by analyzing meant you had to break it all down. No matter whether you're going to build up anything, small thing or a big thing, or an airplane or a missile or whatever it is, break it all down to all its components, analyze, find out what you've got to do. It's like Shockley Shue said last week. He likes to get up in the morning and write out a list of the things he's got to do and then stick to the program. Or as one of our speakers would say, was here and he said, plan your work and work your plan. It's good. Plan your work and work your plan. And God had a plan and God had a schedule. I like the way it's put in Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. God planned back in eternal ages this wonderful scheme of redemption. And there was a moment, and yet you can't talk about moments in heaven because there's no time there. But for our sake, because we cannot understand the language of heaven yet, we will one day. We'll talk in earthly language. There came a moment in the history of heaven when the Son of God said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me, I delight to do thy will. And God sent his Son when the fullness of the time was come. On God's schedule, the date came and God's Son came into this world, born in Bethlehem, cradled in a manger, when the fullness of the time was come. In Romans 5, it says this, That was his birth at Bethlehem. In Romans 5 it says this, in verse 8, God commended, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When the fullness of the time was come on God's schedule, he checked it off. His son came into the world. But in due time, this is another spot in God's schedule, he checked it off. His son, he gave his son. He died for the ungodly. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, you'll see another point in God's wonderful plan and God's wonderful schedule, Ephesians 1 and verse 10, and it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ which are in heaven and which are in earth. God has a plan, and he's already checked off some of the items on the plan, and they're all finished. The gathering together in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the gathering together of all one in Christ Jesus, that is future. And this Psalm 118 looks into the future, when the Lord Jesus will reign throughout the world and in Jerusalem, and all the world will bow at his feet. I suppose when it speaks about the gate of Jerusalem, it's probably referring, as it does in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And that eastern gate our brother was talking about this morning, which is still closed, and will not be opened until the Son of God comes back. They tried to open it, you know, for King Hussein to walk, to go in. They're getting it all ready. He was going to march into the city of Jerusalem. And when it was all ready to go, the Six-Day War came, and he never marched in because God had said, that gate is closed until his son comes back. It'll open then, but not till then. And so it mentions a gate in Psalm 118, and the Lord entering into a gate, that's future. Although I take it that, as our brother said this morning, there when he drove into Jerusalem, he entered into that eastern gate. I've been there. I've gone down the Mount of Olives, and I've traveled along that footpath that our brother was talking about this morning. And it's a wonderful thing to see the picture of the Lord Jesus, lowly, sitting upon an ass, driving into his city. Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the King. There are four gospels. Three of them we call the synoptics. Optic obviously to do with the eyes. An optician is a man that puts out your eyes. And the Greek word syn means together. So synoptic means that these three look at it together from the same viewpoint. But they call John's gospel autoptic. And also in Greek means on your own. I remember once standing on a street corner in Athens when I was trying to learn a little bit about the Greek language, and a friend of mine, a car went by, and he said, you know what that's called? I said, yes, astokineto. And I said, tell me, what does it mean, astokineto? Well, he said, you know a little French, don't you? You don't, you know what automobile means? You know, when I started to learn Greek, I found out a little English I knew and a little French. Automobile. Mobile is movement, and auto is all on your own. Afto, we don't say auto in modern Greek, we say afto. But he says like auto kineto, but auto means on his own, and kinesis is the theory of movement, and afto kineto is the thing that moves by itself. Automobile, he goes on his own, he's mobile, but he does it himself. He's got his power within himself. And the synoptic is looking together, but autoptic is looking alone. So John takes a unique view when he writes his gospel. And he writes about the Son of God, different to what the others do. John starts away in a past eternity. In the beginning was the Word. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they start in time. Matthew starts with his birth, and so does Luke.
Mark, of course, doesn't say much about his birth because in Mark he's a servant. He don't care much about a servant's birth. You have to get a good servant. And the words that signify Mark are the words immediately and straightway and forthwith. A good servant does a job in a hurry quickly for his master. That signifies Mark. But these all write about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought I would like to take Matthew, the story, the road to Calvary from Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the man, perfect man. And in John, he's the Son of God. But here we have the King of Israel. He was born, and Matthew gives his ancestry, tracing him right back to David, the King of Israel. So there is no question whatever about the ancestry of the Lord Jesus. He was royal. He had royal blood. He came down through the royal blood of the Jewish race. Both mother and, of course, Joseph was only a father by name, but both of them came down the two sides of the line from David, and they could trace their ancestry right back to David, so he was the official king. But the marvel is, their eyes were closed and they didn't know. And when the wise men came to Herod and said, "We've come to see, find the one that was born king of the Jews," that upset Herod very much, because he was the set-up king of the Jews of his day, and he caused all the children of 2 years of age to be put to death in order to destroy this one that was born king of the Jews. But God overruled that. The fullness of the time had come, and God had sent his king into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he went down into Egypt. His father took him down into Egypt. And when that Herod was dead, he came back again. And the Lord Jesus was there as king. Who wouldn't have known he was king? But there were some who gazed upon his face and saw his kingly brow, and they knew that he was the king of Israel. And there were some who knew that he was the Messiah, and they waited to see him set up his kingdom. And they expected to see him ride into the gate of Jerusalem on a charger. Well, I remember when the king of Greece came back after being in exile for 12 years, they put him on a white charger and he drove up to the gate of the city of Athens in splendor and royalty. And here's the King of Kings. He's not riding on a charger. But I tell you what, he's going to. In Revelation 19, he comes out of heaven riding on a white horse. That's future. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is coming back to reign. But that's not what he came for when he came to bed. God had a different object in view altogether. God had a mystery hidden down through the ages, never revealed to the sons of man. God had a mystery. God was going to form a church. He dealt with the children of Israel down through the years, and they had rejected him and despised him and rebelled against him and worshipped idols and put God out of their lives. And God had to reject his people. And God had another plan. But it was an eternal plan worked out in the past ages of eternity that the Son of God should have a bride. The Son of God should have a church. And he came here to win a church to himself. And the whole object of his coming was that men and women from Jews and Gentiles should be made members of his body, his church, and one day share eternity with him. And it's because of that he went to the place called Calvary and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And here in our reading this morning, the King comes to his city. We won't go into the details. We've had them this morning so beautifully put. It was a marvel to me. No, it wasn't. It would have been a marvel if any other man had sat on that untamed colt. He'd have had a job, but the Lord Jesus sat on, and the colt was perfectly safe. Never been broken in. And he submitted himself to be ridden upon by the Son of God. What a wonderful picture. We had it suggested this morning in our first reading. Some of us had stubborn wills. We wanted our way.
the order of the day today is I want to do my thing. I want to do what I want to do.
But this court had to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you and I need in our lives, every one of us, I don't care how long you've been saved or if you're not saved at all, what we all need this morning is this, to submit to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him take the reins. Well, he had any reins on that court, but he could speak to the court would do what he told him to do. And what we need is to do what he tells us to do. Let him take charge. Let him control our lives. And then we'll make a success of life. But if I'm going to do my thing, I tell you what, so then next. You cannot do it that way. That's not God's way. You've got to do his thing. We have to be submitted to the will of God. And so this fool came with the Lord driving on him. And then these old scriptures were fulfilled. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and colt and put on them their clothes. What a saddle, eh? You think of these wonderful saddles. How proud men are. These riders that ride in that rose parade at Palisade Park on New Year's Day. How proud they are of their beautiful harness and saddles. My father was a harness maker, and I have a little of that pride in me. You know, I used to sew that double. He used to pay me a penny a foot for sewing, my brother and me. That double stitch sewing with an awl and two needles, you know. So long traces and long reins and things that my father used to make beautiful harness for horses, and he was so proud of it. But the Lord came in without a beautiful saddle. He came in sitting on the clothing they put on the mule's back in lowliness and humility, and he drove into the city. And they cast down their garments, their straws, the branches before him, and then the people cried. They followed, saying, Hosanna, that means save now. They thought, he's coming in now, he's going to set up his kingdom. Save now, Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna on the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? A king? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. He was the Son of God. Now, very briefly, that was a very particular day in God's timetable. God had planned, God had said to Daniel that a certain period was what we call Daniel's 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And the history of Israel is wrapped up in that wonderful verse in Daniel, and it gives periods when things should happen. And it says when Messiah should be cut off. And there was a great race writer in the last century, Sir William Anderson, he wrote a book called The Coming Prince. If you haven't got it, you should get it. We haven't got it in the store anymore. The Coming Prince. And then he worked out in detail to the very day, from the time that the decree was put out by Cyrus to build the city, not the temple, but to build the city and the walls. From that day, he worked to the very day, and it was that exactly in accordance with prophecy, that very day that the Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now these scribes and Pharisees and rulers and all these people that knew the law and had their scrolls of the scriptures, they didn't see that. Their eyes were blinded. They hadn't worked out the mathematics that could tell them the day when the Son of God was driving through. But God had it. And the Lord Jesus knew it, and he said, if thou hadst known even now this day, if you'd known this day, and the things that belong to your peace, you say it today. You've missed the mark. Scripture has been fulfilled before your eyes, and you didn't know it. You were blind and dark, and you didn't know. Now he says to them, your city is left desolate. The day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side.
and lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This day, the time of thy visitation. And so the psalmist says, as he talks of one riding in through the city gate there in that Psalm 118, open the gate of righteousness, that this gate of the Lord which the righteous shall enter, the stone which the builders rejected, has become the headstone of the corner. We'll come back to that later in the week. This is the Lord's day. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. This day. And the Son of God was riding in on a colt into the city of Jerusalem. And he said to them, if thou hadst only known this day, but now, they're hid from thine eyes. Our time is up. We still live in a day of grace, a wonderful day. The gospel is still going out, and God is still calling men and women to believe in His Son and accept Him as their Savior. And there's someone in this meeting this morning, and you've never done that. You've never yet yielded to Him. You've never let Him take the reins. You've never let Him sit in the saddle. You've never let Him take the helm and make Him master of your life. You're going your own way and planning your own life. This is a wonderful day. This Palm Sunday, 1977. We may never see another Sunday, another Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. And He said to them, all these tragedies to come upon thee, because thou knewest not the day of thy visitation. Dear friends, this is the day of visitation. The Lord Jesus is here this morning, and He speaks to you. Would you like to bow your heart to Him? Every one of us, even those that know us most, know Him best. Shall we not bow our hearts before Him and yield our lives afresh to Him, for whatever there is left of life that we might spend for Him? Let Him be in charge. Let Him take control. And if you've got some plans you're making of your own, stop. Find out if they're His plans before you go any further. And if you're not yet saved, why not bow your head to Him now and say, Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came here to save me. I accept You as my personal Savior. And if there's someone here out of Christ, I'd love to sit down by your side, so with many others here, and show you the way you can. May God bless you. Should we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank Thee now for this wonderful story of how Thy beloved Son in grace on this very day set aside by Thee for so many ages. 400 or 500 years before Thou didst say that this would take place, and it took place to the very hour. And we know, Lord, Thou hast set aside a day, and no one knows that day when the Lord Jesus is coming back again. But one day Thou art going to check that off too. And we should be caught up to meet Him together in the air, maybe today. And there's some that don't know the day of visitation, they'd be left behind. We pray, Lord, that Thou speak to every heart here now. And if there's one out of Christ, we pray that one might yield to Thee. Help us, Lord, to yield our lives to Thee. Sometimes life is difficult. Changes come and problems change, but we thank Thee, Thou art the same. Give us grace to submit to Thy will, to Thy way, to Thy plan, for every one of us here this morning. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord, Jesus Christ.